All right. I think everybody that is going to be here is here. Again, we're sorry that breakfast is running about 15 minutes late, but we'll be here. It's just worth the wait. First up on the agenda, just a status report on the Main Street and the Alley project. Where we're at.
The alleys went to bid. The project, I believe, is due to start in the spring. It should be pretty fast.
How were construction costs?
It was about $50,000 less than the engineer estimate. The next highest bid was like $100,000 over that.
Is there a timeline for that? When they're going to start, when they have to be done by?
I don't know that there's a sense date. I believe it's just whether when they can begin those projects.
They'll be concrete, so we just have to wait until the weather's good for concrete.
I'm sure it won't be as cut and dry as it is.
It's what?
So I'm sure it won't be as cut and dry as it sounds.
All right. And I saw Isaac a couple days ago. He said you guys had signed your agreement for the Main Street project. So, is there anything at this point that's outstanding paper-wise on that moving forward and progressing?
Yeah.
Well, I think the only thing there is the city's still deciding on the trees they're going to put in and replace trees. Last I heard, is that right, Julie? I think that came up at their public meeting.
Yeah, we are getting some concern over the trees, so. But we can amend these cooperative agreements up until it goes to bid. So it's all part of the process. You know, you put it out there and then people, it gets real. They say, oh, that's really going to happen. You sign those agreements. So not everybody's happy with removing trees in the downtown area. So we'll probably look at them again and decide where to go from there.
And Sharon, I think, is working on their project so we can discuss with Sharon some of their plans and ideas. They're meeting summer 23, so yep. We can watch their pitfalls and problems.
But I believe some of the tree board was going to talk to Terry, from what I understood.
I can forward you. We did get a letter from the Schumanns about what they proposed should be done with the trees. You know, with part of this, we've had more active tree board in the past, and now it isn't as active. And Paul is on the tree board. And I appreciate that they come and they are, it takes a long time to grow a tree. So just to cut all the trees down and do that, I understand their concern. But we've been talking about the Main Street trees for many, many, many years, and where have any, it's amazing how quickly people can come with solutions. Neil Shakey has also called me about the trees.
Didn't he pick the trees to begin with?
Yeah. So
he helped put them in, and Paul helped put them in too.
But then they've done no pruning and no recommendations, you know, so to sit on the tree board and say, you know, you can't do that, but do nothing with the trees, no recommendation. You know.
Didn't Garrett prune them for us for free a couple years ago?
And I think the Schumanns have offered that now.
Yeah, Garrett did 17 or 18.
So anyway, that's still hanging on.
Is there any upcoming meetings or anything that we need to be aware of, be at?
As far as
I know, YDOT will come up a whole series of them as we move forward, but. Just one of those documents signed because now the engineers have certain deadlines. You know, they have to have 75% plans done by this date, and then it goes to 90%, and then you go to bid. So by us signing our agreements, it puts the pressure back on all those engineers to get their plans done.
We'll probably try to look at, depending on how the sidewalks are going to be done or not done, we need to obviously do something about our retaining wall in front of the courthouse. So our hope was that if it was torn up, that could all be done at once, but we'll wait and see on what sidewalks are going to be done, because it sounds like that's still up in the air.
I think YDOT knows which ones they are doing.
They just won't tell us.
Yeah. And so it would be foolish for us to go in and identify everywhere that we wanted to pay for sidewalks when they're looking at anything that's a tripping hazard, anything that, so I have brought up in front of the Busy Bee and how you access the bridge and all that. They told me that they are looking at that one. They will do that one. But
you know, Bill, our original thought when this first came up a couple of years ago was we would do all the sidewalks downtown, and then they said, well, we're going to be repairing sidewalks that needs it. Well, which sidewalks? Well, we don't know yet. So that's what's been so hard about this whole deal. That's why we don't have any sidewalks in what we were doing to begin with, because we couldn't get an answer.
That was when the, just what they had over the library here a while back. They wouldn't say what they were going
to do. Yeah, and we've been trying to find it out for, 2 years.
So I tried to push it. I said, well, I saw a few more broken sidewalks just recently, so maybe you should look again. And he said, no, we've already identified it. Meaning I was going to go break some sidewalks. And I said, we've already identified them, so.
You're going to have to walk all the way.
All right, anything else on Main Street and alleys?
The only thing I was going to bring up, I know there was some conversation, I don't know if your department, our department, has talked about the sidewalks, and if, and maybe I'm getting projects and things confused. I was thinking that was going to happen during the Main Street project. But just so that we can coordinate and make sure that we're all on the same page for connecting sidewalks, particularly on South Main Street, I wasn't sure if our department's had a chance to speak about that yet.
There is a meeting with YDOT, I think early January, on the South Bypass walking path, which then would include the school district on those safe routes to schools. I don't have a date on that yet, John.
Okay.
But yes, I know that Road and Bridge had reached out to Public Works about being at that, and that's a continuation. And there's actually some additional money that I'm going to talk about in legislative update earmarked for crosswalks that cross state highways.
But that sidewalk project isn't part of the Main Street.
No.
So that will happen at a different time.
Right. We are slated to do our bypass project at the same time that Main Street is being done. We piggybacked off the contractor with YDOT. So some of that will be happening in tandem.
Gotcha. I mean, does that make sense for us to make some of that happen in tandem as well?
Well, let me clarify. Your bypass project is the overlay. It's not the sidewalk.
It's going to probably be all done at once is what YDOT is telling us.
Okay.
It's two separate projects, but
they won't bid it with the same.
Well, there's also a walking path with that YDOT project too, and there will be some connection between
the path and the hard surfacing will probably be overlaid at the same time. The hope is that when they're doing paving on bypass, that they can then just go over and take that little walking path service, because one of the requirements with the YDOT money that is being used, it's got to be a hard surface trail. It could be like what you see going out Klondike or what you've got up along the creek. It has to be a hard surface trail.
So you've signed a cooperative agreement then, like we did, for what we included in the project, and yours includes this cap, or that will be a separate contract?
It's going to be a separate contract, but again, they're trying because you've got a mobilized contractor all done at the same time.
Okay.
When you know a date, can you send that out
yes.
to whoever's up on council at that point?
We already
so,
know.
So we can have someone there.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, John. Any other questions?
Nope. That was it. Thank you.
All right. At the last city academy, we had formed a working group on kind of reorganization of the tourism association. And I believe council elect Madden already had a meeting. So, would you like to update us on? Mm-hmm. What you discovered or
well, we've had actually two meetings. One of them was with the administrator that was really in the Joint Powers Board at the Clear Creek School or the Bomber Mountain facility, and got some input from her. And what I could see, at least myself, I think Bob agrees, that first we needed to find some information from another vantage point. So we found a couple of individuals that I interviewed for an hour and a half, I think, over in the library, and they were both, I thought, were both past members. One turns out to be a recent resignation from that board, and one of them is still on there. That person said there was something in the newspaper or maybe on the radio, I don't remember how it was, but said that they made a mistake and said that he had resigned too, but he didn't. At any rate, the kind of challenges that we saw is that there's kind of a lack of communication with, I guess you could say, the chairman committee and announcing meeting dates and when they're going to meet, what the agenda items are. There's some other controversies as well as funding for certain kinds of promotion, and I don't know how much I can really say here today, but I know one thing: we've got to get this straightened out pretty quick. And one of the things we both agree on, Bob and I, is that we got to get the size of the Tourism Association or Tourism Board down to a reasonable size. And I did some research on all other, virtually every county has got a tourism board. And most of them have either 5 members or 7 members. And I don't know how it ever happened this way, but it's there's 10 members. So it's got an even number, first of all. And I know I used to sit on the board, and I don't think you ever ran into deadlock ties, but in most instances, you don't see a board that's got an odd number. Okay? Maybe you have some kind of a procedure to break a tie, something like that. But there is changing it. The first thing you probably want to know, well, can we do that? And you can. You can change the lodging tax board, the size of it, to what most of the other ones have, 5 or 7 members. And that would make it, I guess the dynamics of it is when you got 10 members and you see on your calendar there's another meeting on such and such a day and you're 1 of 10, they're just implicit feeling that, well, I can skip this one because there are 9 other ones going to be there. Yeah. That kind of multiplies itself over time, and that's what they found. So that would be the one recommendation. And another one should be the administrative support. Okay. And part of it. That's Jan DeRule, I think. It is her. And they're just tickled pink with her. She's not the issue at all. But there are some, personality things that we saw some evidence from the state tourism office that since we don't have an administrator, don't know who to get hold of. So the natural thing they do is look for members. They call them members of the members, at least in some instances, are not answering the phone, or they answer it and don't know the answer. they don't know what the issue is that the person's talking about. So I guess back when I was on the tourism board, probably 18 years ago, I think I was on two terms, and it really went smooth because we farmed it out to the Chamber of Commerce, and that's kind of what where the interface is between our tourism people, our tourism customers, I should say, the travelers, the guests, visitors. That's kind of the point of contact, and you probably all agree if you've gone to another town on a vacation or some other event, and you want to know what's going on in town, you go to the chamber office. And it's not being practiced right now because of all the stuff that happened about 4 years ago in the tourism or the Chamber of Commerce. And I think from what I've seen so far, we were going to go with, talk to the chamber yesterday, but they weren't open at the time we were going to go. So that's one of the things that we need to do is find out if they have any interest in it at all. I guess that's all. If you have any specific questions, I can answer them, but there's a lot of stuff in here that after you read it, you say, well, we got something that's broke, and it is. It's something that's got to be done quickly, and the reason for that is we have these individual events that organizations will plan. I remember one was Bluegrass Music Festival out at the, well, they always come in every year with a plan on, we need some help on promoting and advertising, and that's really all you can use it for. You can't do it, use it for other stuff. So that was one I remember financing nearly every year until they got COVIDed out too or something a couple of years ago. And there's other organizations. There's several in the, I think there's a Crystal and New Days. They have advertising for publicity purposes to try to get a larger group attending and so on. But back to the original issue here is that these people that are planning these things are probably starting to plan for the summers or spring or fall's activities right now. And we have not sent out, or we have not on the board, but we have not sent out, notices of if you have an event coming up and you'd like to be considered for financing for promotion purposes, you need to fill this out and send, I don't know, I think we said you had to have 10 copies, but that's because we had 10 members on the board. But there's a standard protocol that we went through, and I think it happened about now. It get out, and then the deadline came in maybe February to get their applications in, and then the tourism board would allocate what they thought was appropriate amounts of money for that purpose. They also have other things that they've got to get done or should get done, such as making sure the billboards are updated, if not updated, or repainted or redone, something. get wind out here, as you know. And I think we lost a billboard not too many years ago about Buffalo. So if that's got to be done, and there's some, yes, we need to have a board that is active and does things. And I think if we got down to a 5 or 7 person board, like all the other chambers or all the other tourism boards that I looked at, that's what you would find. Even, you know, oddly enough, if you look at Laramie County, Cheyenne, and Natrona, they have 7 members, I think, and some of them have 5, but they all work through the chamber. The chamber is a person that you take your materials to, your inquiries, information packets, and those kind of things. And right now, it's embarrassing, I think, for the community to not have a more structured way of dealing with our visitor industry, because it is, whether you want to admit it or not, it is the largest industry in Johnson County. That's all I'll say, unless you've got questions.
No, thanks, Mike, for that update. Bob, any thoughts from you?
No, I'm pretty much in line with what Mike says, and I'd say that the chamber really could use the help that the tourism board could put forth. I know that they struggle for money, and if tourism board was able to hire the full-time chamber person, they can split the cost of that person and have a full-time person for the two organizations.
And that's what they did for many years. I think they paid them like $10,000 a year to keep the books and take care of all the administrative side.
I guess towards the end of my career, it was a little bit more than that. But
it was more.
Yeah, and that's not an issue. You know, our tourism, despite all of this stuff, the industry is so strong. It's my understanding that their revenue on this automatic 2% of the tourism tax would get is right around $250,000. You know, so you take 10% as a kind of an index, we have 25,000. You know, and there's other things. You know, you've got the visitor, what do you call the thing out there on the East Park? The visitor center.
Satellite Information Center.
Yeah, Information Center, yeah. They man that. We always have manned it from all the time I could, that it's been there. And that's owned by the Chamber of Commerce, but last year I think that they had to lease it from the Chamber of Commerce so that someone else could go in and man the thing. So when you add that part into it, Wes, it's more than the $10,000 we had it paid for. We didn't have to. We thought it was a good deal to pay for the help out there, or part of it anyway. So it's a win deal for the businesses here, and I think if we move in some kind of a positive direction, I think it'll be a positive vibe for the members of the tourism industry that are, you know, at hotels, restaurants, you know, everything else around here.
It would be a positive vibe for the tourism board and the chamber owners locally. Maybe we can get some revitalization of those two organizations.
Fire in their belly.
Okay. And we are going to go see the chamber, you know, before we are making it.
We're not going to make a mistake before.
No. We were going to go this last, well, was it yesterday, the day before. We were going to go over there, and they weren't open because they were on by appointment on Mondays or something. But their hours are on the board, and I've got to go to Rapid City to bestow Christmas presents on my grandkids this weekend. So this week, but we'll be back on Thursday, and then I'll reconnect. Mike with them and Bob, and then we'll run over there before Christmas, I think. We'll try. They got a real dynamic person there working now, and it's kind of fun to talk to her, so we're looking forward to that.
So, Mike, on a practical standpoint, to shrink that board, it would be a change to the operating agreement, the bylaws between the city and the county. Would your preference be a 5-person board or a 7-person board?
I think 5.
So that would then, I guess, one appointment from KC, 2 from the city, 2 from the county?
That's what we had in mind. If that isn't enough, we can go 1, 3, and 3 as well. Okay. But we do want, we want to make sure it's an odd number. We must have the only committee ever invented that had an even number.
Joko had 10 at one point. I think they still do.
Maybe it's a Johnson County thing.
I think the thought when that's happened is, well, we always have these two people that don't show up.
We want everybody to have a chance to be in the sandbox. Okay, I'll get with Julie and we'll work on that.
I get to travel.
Oh, you can.
I think it's crazy.
I think so too.
It makes sense.
You got yourself driving a
car.
So, for practical purposes, Mr. Mayor, on appointments coming up in January, do you want to? I guess how many folks do you presently have serving on the board? Okay.
How many was that in response to our ad form?
6.
Because if the action item on the first meeting in January changes that board from 10 to 5,
you'll give us one.
Well, we may or may not have ones to give. But what I don't want you to do is appoint 3 members to the board in your January meeting, and then the next agenda item, you shrink the board.
If we have 2 veterans as well, then we appoint 2.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, and I think with this, numbering for the figuring the board as far as numbers, you can really start over. Making new appointments is far from that day on. At least that's what I'm hoping to do, because there's a need for that.
Yeah.
I think the rest of breakfast just arrived, so let's pause for a sec. Before we talk about the legislative session. This one's supposed to, so let's just pause for a second and everybody can get something to eat. Please, you spectators, you're more than welcome to help yourself to breakfast. Jack Eagle, just have to start sitting at the big kid table as well. So.
Okay.
Yep. Time out to everybody.
There are some in the box. I saw you had it out.
About the priorities.
what got pumped first. Yeah.
How we should do it.
Yeah, he called me last night. I had a chance to call him back and explain the snow removal policy, but you had a nice conversation.
Yeah, we got the long run.
Good. Good.
I did most of the talking.
Those are my favorite constituent calls. There is bacon, and I know you need bacon in your life, Wes, so.
You see the bacon bourbon drinks they have now? They have, like, smoked bacon in that drink.
No, but it sounds wonderful.
How can you go wrong?
Don't eat, that's your own fault. So, because there's plenty there. So, yeah, very good. There are two handouts. The first lays out your legislative committee assignments. Of note is that Senator Kinski is the Senate Appropriations Chairman, which hopefully puts someone who values local government in a position to steer the supplemental budget priorities. The second item is the calendar. You'll notice that the legislature is going to gavel in on the 10th. WCCA is scheduled to be down for our week, that following week. So I think we're going to have a conflict. We were scheduled January 17th for a city-county meeting. But I believe we will be at our winter legislative meeting on that day, but we'll confirm that with you. It may be just the newly elected commissioner at new commissioner training and not all the commissioners down there, but we'll keep that fluid. When is WAM scheduled to go down?
25th through the 27th.
You'll see that they are going to meet for 37 days, so they have three extra days if needed, but scheduled to be out on the 3rd. So last week, the governor sent six budget letters of interest, so I'll walk you through what was proposed and then where it stands right now. So one of the letters was a request for $1 million to keep the property tax refund program solvent through the end of the biennium. You'll know that that was very popular with folks that qualify, and they are slated to run out of money for that second year in the biennium. $50 million in match money available, which gets it up to $150 million for potential energy projects. Certainly, as you look at potential uses of your business park, that may be an avenue that folks could go after some funding. Third letter, in the mineral royalty grant program, and you'll remember that that was zeroed out in the previous budget, it adds $10 million and stops a $6 million sweep that was supposed to happen of the remaining funds in that. That is backfilled with ARPA dollars. The fourth budget letter included $26 million to increase direct distribution, as well as $28 million to cover the insolvency in the Wyoming retirement program. I believe your employees are on Wyoming retirement, is that correct? Yeah, so are ours. You should anticipate next year a 1% increase on your contribution requirement to keep Wyoming retirement solvent. So start building it into your budget. There is also an additional $68 million going to Wyoming Retirement to provide a 1.5% increase, the COLA adjustment for your former city and county employees. Then there is $100 million allocated of additional ARPA money. This is where it gets a little interesting. $4.5 million for WildLink, $12 million for outdoor recreation opportunities, $15 million for additional healthcare construction, and another $15 million to add money into the SLID program for water and sewer projects. So I think you guys may see another opportunity to apply for some water and sewer projects. Now, that was the governor's proposal, so let me tell you what the legislature did to that. Because, of course, the governor never gets everything he asks for. So the $26 million to direct distribution was reduced to $13 million, and it is going to be run through the Baden matrix rather than the modified hardship formula.
Who is that guy?
Who is that guy? Got his own formula. The WildLink funding for radios was cut entirely. The mineral royalty grants were reduced by $6 million. And let's see.
Where's that mineral royalty grant level compared to the way it was for years past?
Well, it would have compared to...
Did it restore it back to where it was?
No. But it at least puts money back into a program that was zeroed out. And I think, Mike, that... appropriations feeling last year was that there was enough ARPA money available in different vehicles that they didn't need it. So that's where the supplemental budget stands right now. All right, individual bills are starting to get filed. So as of this morning, stuff that everybody needs to get on their radar. House Bill 2 would allow council people and mayors to forego being paid. Well, you can forego payment. House Bill 10 is going to increase the bonding requirement for county officials. You'll maybe remember in the news the clerk of district court in Goshen County embezzled funds that were, I don't know if it was either for child support or victim compensation. Anyway, the present bonding levels wasn't enough to cover what was embezzled, and actually now I don't think those bond levels have been increased since the 1800s, so it's going to be an increase on that, which is obviously increased cost to everybody. House Bill 15, Commissioner Perry, you'll like this one. The county authority to dissolve museum district boards. That is some clarifying language. It's basically a Scrivener bill from the bill that was done last year. House Bill 44 increases to $75 million what Road and Bridge can do before projects need to be bid. House Bill 45 would allow local governments to rehire retired highway patrol, game warden, or other law enforcement to your local PD and not have them face issues with their Wyoming retirement. House Bill 49 would allow cities, if they wanted, to implement the ranked choice municipal election process. House Joint Resolution 1, that's the property tax revisions that would start the constitutional amendment process to address people's property taxes. Senate File 13, that's amendments to the bar and grill licenses, and I think that's something you guys are going to want to watch very closely because you have demand for them. We haven't had anybody.
Was it talking about increasing the amount available?
A couple of changes in there, but yeah, that potential. Senate File 42, 30-cent tax on premium cigars that would then roll through your local government funding. So get
just the premium ones, not like Swisher Sweets.
No, just the premium and roll nice cigars.
Good, I'm all right.
And 30 cents, which is going to probably keep local governments solvent.
Right.
Yeah, solve all the problems.
How many $1 million are going to be for Buffalo?
They're going to be solvent. They'll have all the sidewalks they want. Next one, Senate File 35. This is a $10 million appropriation for crosswalks across state highways and city roads. I think we really should look at that if that moves forward as a way to address some of our concerns around the high school. YDOT doesn't seem to want to... I told Isaac that we wanted a stoplight out there. I didn't get a lot of love on that, but that may be way, whether it's lighting, just something. The bill delineates there's money that could be available for overpasses, underpasses, and then aids to cross the street. So
let's do a roundabout. Now we're talking.
Everybody else.
Yeah, everybody loves roundabouts.
I feel so confused.
And then the last bill, and again, these are just what's been filed as of last night. Senate File 41, which would allow the authority to control where skilled games are located. You'll remember that a laundromat had put in some skilled games, and several legislators felt that that wasn't appropriate. At this point, the only establishments in Buffalo that has skilled games are the bars, and they're in a place that it restricts access to people under the age of 21. And so this would kind of clarify and codify that you would need to keep your skilled games, and I think you're doing a pretty decent amount of revenue on those. We don't really have any in the county, but we may be getting some pony parlors. So that is, as of this morning, everything that has been filed so far.
Can you go over that number 15 again?
House Bill, the ability to dissolve the museum force.
What's the background on that? I know Saratoga established a museum board in the district maybe 2 years ago, if not two, 4 years. Does that mean that they're out of luck?
No, Mike. So several years ago, the Laramie County Commissioners dismissed their fair board and placed the county commissioners as the fair board. Mm-hmm. They sued and this was the former Fair Board members, sued, were successful at the Supreme Court. Well, it started a discussion about dissolution of all boards, and so last year there was a large bill that was run to clarify how and when boards can be dissolved. So this is, it's really a Scrivener bill. There was a miscited statute that they're mentioned. Yeah, but it is at least a moving vehicle if there were, as you know, amendments that could be added because it would be germane to the title.
Right. Okay, I don't think it has anything to do with the special district board. It's strictly county or county
appointed.
Or city appointed.
Yeah,
board.
Appointed boards. Anyway, so that that's your legislative update for what's filed so far.
Wasn't there another one?
I know.
Tavern and entertainment. There's a bill out there. You said 13 is the one about the barn grill.
Yeah.
And then there's tavern and entertainment, which, you know, there's that 60-40 rule that you have to have so much food to so much alcohol. Mm-hmm. Now it's just becoming about sales. I mean, I think there's some logic to why you have to have food with alcohol, you know, and not over-serving and all this. Well, now that you can sell other things, like entertainment, whether it's do you count these gaming things, it kind of changes the mixture, but we'll see how successful that one is. This isn't a legislative update, but there is, from the last legislation, an department about it. There's training now for all elected officials because of your oversight, like of me, of all of your, it won't be I'm thinking an hour-long training, especially if you're going to give up your salaries this year, you know. I can't see requiring you to go to a week of training of, you know, how to do investments and all of that. Whether that's something that we do through RAM, if they provide it at the WAM Winter Workshop. I know there's a session on it. It's not the training. It's just explaining who all is required. Because of my education and stuff, I can send that in, and I'm exempt from any training, but all of you guys will have to have somewhat of a training, whether we do a work session here an hour before our council meeting or whatever it looks like. But it's probably a good thing, especially when we hear about embezzlements and all of that. Yeah, if I screw up and embezzle all your money, I'm in big trouble, but so are you guys, because the taxpayers are mad at you for not oversight.
Strong getting out, man.
Yeah, that bill is strong
enough. You were trying to put it all into FTAs.
I think you're getting enough out of the bank that you don't have to worry about it. You can do that on any city money.
He's in the Ford right now.
So we don't need to invest in whatever. No more Dogecoin. Okay.
Dogecoin. No.
FTX or FTX. Yeah.
That's my you're a little late.
In your health care plan, whoever you contract with to do that, they can go out and negotiate to get you a better rate on scripts. Sometimes what that means is that you force your folks to use a preferred pharmacy, whether it's pharmacy by mail. Anyway, it saves thousands and thousands of dollars a year. And some of the independent pharmacies feel that it's unfair, forces folks to go certain places to get their prescriptions filled. So they pushed that bill last year. I think we figured it was going to cost us like $7 per prescription per employee each time we filled. If that had gone through, plus then just a bunch of other unintended consequences, I think we'll see something again, Julie.
Okay. How about governmental property or government?
Yes.
Property for governmental purposes, because you're starting to tax me.
Yes, that bill is either about to be filed or will be filed shortly, dealing with the property tax exemptions. So lots that you hold, buildings, you know, remember that a portion of the Bonner Mountain Civic Center is taxed at a commercial rate for the parts of it that can be rented out for commercial purposes. The rest of the building that is held for educational purposes, like where the college is at, are tax exempt.
Now, I see the school's moving back in to the east side of the Bonner Mountain. Will that change the tax structure on that portion of the building?
So, Bobby, if the school decides to bring the alternative high school back in there, it shouldn't, because the portions of the building where they would move into aren't presently being used, with the exception of, I think, of maybe one room, and they would swap that tenant for one of the spaces down in the college wing. So I don't think they'll see a change in their tax bill unless that commercial tenant that moves into a larger room than where they presently are. And I think that was probably at least a year out before the school was going to be willing to make that decision. So that's it for legislative items. We'll go ahead and go around the table. So are your new members sworn in tonight?
Third.
All right, well, Councilwoman elect Camino, anything for the good of the order?
No.
Councilwoman Madison?
No.
Other Councilman Camino? That's going to be confusing to the mayor. Last one.
Last shot, man.
Come on. Give us some parting with it.
You guys took all my wisdom in the last 6 years. It's gone.
I sucked it all out. Mr. Vice Mayor.
I'm good. It's been real.
Madam Clerk.
1% applications.
Yes.
We need to change the formula. When are we going to advertise?
You have a full committee?
I have a few. No, I have.
But those are January appointments.
Well, and sure. We have time to do that, but the people that are wanting to apply, they keep calling.
Okay. What did you do this year? It was in middle of February or end of February that the applications were due?
The end of February?
I think it was the end of February, and the committee met in March.
Mm-hmm. End of March.
And then stuff was finalized, ratified in April. So I'm fine with that timeline unless any of the councilmen.
I think that worked better. I think that 1 or 2 years we tried to have them have the apps in by like the middle of February, and that was just too soon. And then the committee didn't meet till middle of April, so it just didn't make a lot of sense.
So we could at least set maybe the date for maybe before that the review thing. Do we want it on a Friday or last day of the month? February 24th is a Friday. February 28th is the last day of the month. What makes more sense? What's easier to remember?
I think last day of the month is easier.
Yep. 5:00. Do in either the commissioner's office or city hall at 5 p.m.
Which day?
Last day of the month. February 28th.
But it's not a leap year, so you get an extra day.
No confusion there, right?
Good. Do you think we need changes to that application? We had revisited it like 3 times, and no one ever changes it.
I would ask, Mike, you were on that committee. Mm-hmm. We have to pull you off of that now, but.
Oh, I was going to stay on that.
What's confusing? Any changes that you would recommend, or?
No, I think it went well last year, actually. I thought we had the right kind of people were there, and they all attended
local governments actually paid some attention to us last year.
So I think other than updates or deadlines on the application, we're good to roll.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't have anything.
I've spoken my piece.
Jody, anything this morning?
Sorry, breakfast was late this morning. I hope it was worth the wait.
It was good.
And the clerk-elect?
Well, I'm a little bit overwhelmed, kind of good, but Vicki's going to work with me, and I'm very excited about the new position, and I hope I serve Johnson kind of well. Going to be counting on my my commissioner's loss.
Questions from the public or the press? Rick, you want to enlighten us with anything?
I have all kinds of things about what we're having time
about. Well, help yourself to breakfast, at least. Although you probably already went to McDonald's.
That's what I'm doing.
Good. All right. We'll work on the January date, so if there's nothing else, I think we're adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.